after a friend offered it to him at a party, even though he had no prior experience with drugs. He also took ecstasy. Harris admits that he was taking a massive professional risk. If his partying had leaked out, then he could have been fired. Harris hit rock bottom when he had the panic attack on TV, followed by a second attack on national TV. Harris was on anti-anxiety medication at the time, and after the second attack, he confessed to his psychiatrist that he was using cocaine. The psychiatrist told him that cocaine increases the level of adrenaline to the brain, which dramatically increased his chance of having an anxiety attack. Harris realized that he had to immediately cut out drugs from his life. While sitting at his psychiatrist's office, he recognized that he had been utterly mindless in his pursuit of airtime, from going into war zones without recognizing the psychological cost, to using cocaine and ecstasy as a synthetic replacement for adrenaline. After the 2004 election, ABC's coverage on religion grew even more important. Harris's personal attitude about faith had not changed, and he was still disdainful while he covered the U.S. culture wars and intentionally sought sensationalist pieces. It was during this time that Dan's mentor, Peter Jennings, passed away. Jennings' passing meant that ABC had to shuffle correspondents into new positions, and Dan got a promotion. However, the promotion meant that he had more responsibility, and therefore more to lose. His insecurity about his job and life continued. However, this was also a period in his life where he met Bianca, whom he would later marry. During his time covering religion, he also interviewed people like Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra. Harris describes Tolle's work as one that contained a lot of pseudoscience, but which also possessed kernels of truth. While reading Eckhart Tolle, Dan realized that he had become very good at avoiding the present and that he has been sleepwalking through much of his life via automatic habitual behavior. This was also the first time that he realized that the voice in his head, the self-critical voice, was an asshole. While some of Tolle's ideas were helpful, Dan was increasingly skeptical of self-help literature. This is how he got the idea for Happiness, Inc., a show that profiled the $11 billion self-help industry that had attracted a growing number of followers as Americans moved away from organized religion. Dan found that this American subculture contained a number of unqualified persons masquerading as experts and preaching to people who were desperate and often destitute. Harris is particularly critical of Dr. Vitale and James Arthur Ray, the authors responsible for The Secret. Vitale had allegedly received his PhD from the University of Sedona, which was not an accredited university. Ray was responsible for telling his followers that they could use the power of attraction to attract money into their lives. These experiences showed Harris that the self-help industry was not for him. By Chapter 5, Dan Harris admits that he was searching for a guru, though the person who convinced him to try meditating would have not claimed that term for himself. Dr. Mark Epstein was a psychiatrist and practicing Buddhist. After reading Epstein's book, Harris recognized that the sensical parts of Eckhart Tolle had merely been lifted from Buddhism. Epstein told Harris that therapy could help a person find understanding, though without relief. Meditation could provide relief. Dan states that in a world where everything is constantly changing, we suffer because we cling to things that are beyond our control. The route to happiness is found through understanding that many of our moments are impermanent and insecure. Unlike Tolle or Chopra, Epstein seemed like a perfectly normal person who admitted that he became angry or sad. Mark Epstein recommended meditation, which immediately made Dan cringe. He was skeptical towards anything associated with hippie culture. However, Bianca, his fiancée, pointed to medical research on the subject. Dan learned that there was empirical support for the benefits of meditation and eventually decided to try it. Meditation radically altered his relationship to boredom, which he had spent his entire life trying to avoid. Instead of staring at his BlackBerry or bringing a book wherever he went, he began to see life's in-between moments. During these moments, whether at a red light or a doctor's office, he began to focus on his breath and understand his surroundings. He described this relationship.